It's time for Scuttlebutt Ultras. Quick takes from our Patreon Ultras, sharing their Sounders thoughts straight from the heart. Your voice, your moment.
Hello and welcome to Scuttlebutt Ultras, a product of Sounders Scuttlebutt. Product sounds weird. Hey, what's everyone? What's up, everyone? Hey, everyone. English, I speak good. This is Cameron. I am here with two of the three Ultras, Dan and Cedar. What is up, gentlemen? How are you doing on this fine Sunday evening?
I am having a great evening. Yeah. You know, after a Sounders win, I watched D-Row put the ball in, immediately turned it off, went and had dinner, and haven't checked the news yet. So it was a great game.
Oh, Dan, I have some news for you.
there was only a minute left. There's no way they could have equalized, right?
Yeah. Do you remember the Super Bowl between the Falcons and the Patriots?
The last Super Bowl I watched was in 1995, so...
That's how much of a diehard Cowboys fan you only watch when the Cowboys are in. Well, you're never watching a Super Bowl again.
If we could take a quick second to do like a roundabout, way out of the way story. Remember the Janet Jackson Super Bowl, the super famous one? Yeah, I ended up to go get pizza and wings at halftime for that one. came back to the dorms and everybody was having a good time except for me. And I was like, what did I miss? And so, there you go.
Well, the Falcons versus, who'd they play? Denver Super Bowl would have been Super Bowl 1999. My roommate got alcohol poisoning the night before and was puking everywhere and they had to take him out in an ambulance. And, I had to go to the hospital with him and while they pumped his stomach in the emergency room, because he said afterwards, the last thing he remembered was his 20th shot. And he was drinking beers at the same time. So the Hawaii Club, he was from Hawaii, and the Hawaii Club really got him. So that's my big Super Bowl. One of the couple Super Bowl stories I spent it at the emergency room waiting for to see if my roommate had brain damage.
Wow. Jesus.
My dad once went to the Super Bowl, and his friend spent all his time under the stands gambling instead of watching the game.
I mean, gambling addiction is a very serious thing. So,
yeah, that is true.
Case in point.
But if you're gonna do it, might as well do it while the Raiders are playing the Vikings. So the Sounders did play. The final score was 2-2 as a wonder goal in the 99th minute from a guy whose name I cannot pronounce from Atlanta. Curious what y'all thought of that game. Just in general, what are the vibes you're getting off of it? Ooh, very nice.
Thank you. Well, I wasn't able to watch it live because I was at work, and usually I'm pretty good about not knowing what the score is, so I can watch the replay and kind of, watch it as it's happening, similar to like with Aaron and the Mariners. But
yeah,
I somehow saw the score and I saw it was a 2-2 draw, and I was like, ah, man, like, that sucks. I was like, now I don't really want to watch it. So I ended up watching the highlights after I got home from work today. And honestly, I feel a lot better than I thought I was going to feel, because we're undefeated in 6 or 7 since the World Cup, Club World Cup. Yeah. And it was against an Atlanta team that, yeah, they're not doing so great in the standings, but it sounds like, because of their recent poor performances, their head coach ripped them a new one. And you could tell they were up for the game. They were playing like their backs were against the wall, because they are. And they took it to us, especially in that first half. And, they got a little bit lucky with that first goal with the deflection. But, I mean, the way they played that first half, they could have been up 2 or 3-0 by the end of it. So the fact that we, equalize got the lead, but then gave it up right at the end from, you know, the Marinchuk goal. Like, yeah, I mean, it was a really nice goal. There's not a lot you could do about that. I mean, you could close them down a little bit quicker. Like, a Leva was out there, I think, but I don't know. I don't think anybody was expecting that. So, disappointing result. But overall, you know, seeing Pedro have another good goal, another good performance. Yeah, just overall, not feeling too bad, honestly.
So maybe different thoughts than Dan might have coming out of watching the whole match, cooking at halftime.
I'm going to disappoint everybody, and I'm not really crashing out too much on this game. It's kind of a trend. I mean, our MLS year started this way too, right? Giving up late, not as late, but a late equalizer to what, Charlotte? And
yeah,
we've been shaky towards the end of the game a couple times. I think there was some times last year too, and you know, but sometimes stuff happens, and that was a great shot, and not much you could do to stop it. I don't, you know, it's good for them. They get a say in the outcome too. The opposing team gets a say in the outcome too. But really, you know, if you're going to point it to anything, I think you're going to have to point at the first half and just say, hey, why did we look like the worst offense that we've had all year in the first half? You know, it wasn't even a horseshoe of death at the box. It was a horseshoe of death at the midfield with our center backs just kind of tossing around. And it's, I don't know why every team that plays us just doesn't sit in the box and then counter. If I was the coach, I would do all day.
It seems to work well against us. And you saw, especially on our left, their right, that they were able to take Reed to task a few times there.
Really miss Nuhu. Definitely miss Nuhu in the game. And so I think maybe we can pump our brakes on having to move away from Nuhu. Maybe that's why Brian puts up with it. It's because he knew who's the anchor there on the left when he's in.
I mean, we know he's an elite level defender. So it's when he's playing defense, he's on, right? And we saw a little offense out of him when he had that baby D row assist.
Yeah, that was a great toss.
Yeah.
Who has a goal this year too, right? I don't know.
I am curious if the frustration you felt during the first half, because I certainly felt it. It was a game where it felt like, here we go again, especially on the road. This is our MO. We can't seem to score. Did the second half wipe that away for you? Because Cedar didn't get that, since he didn't have to sit through the first half. Were you still frustrated at the end once it's all said and done? Or do you think we're on the road? Like, being up on the getting a point on the road is great. Getting up for a road game can be tough, especially like that field looked horrendous. It was only 65% humidity and only, but still, it wasn't, you know, Houston 90% humidity. But clearly the players looked winded and just done early. How are you feeling?
Gassed, right? Our midfield needs some rotation, and the League Cup coming up. You know, I think anybody's going to be amazed if we don't rotate the midfield during the League Cup, because that would be crazy. But no, I mean, what makes me feel better at the end of this game is that we still haven't lost after the World Cup. I think that's huge, is that we're on an unbeaten streak. Yeah, we've had some ties in there that we probably should have turned into wins, but we're still collecting points, and we're still inching forward. I mean, as far as being upset about the first half, we've talked about it. I have Sounders can't score PTSD from whenever I came in the past couple years, and it just seems to be something that they keep falling back to. And whenever times get hard, we're just going to kind of hold possession, and we're going to recycle, and that's it.
Let me tell you, even before you were a fan, there was games where we had 20 shots, one on goal, no goals. It was painful. Or we'd win a game 1-0, and a win's good, but it gets frustrating.
Yeah, that calls to mind that RSL playoff match.
Oh,
with that goalie, I forget his name now, but I can see his face, and I remember hating him so much back then.
Nick Raimondo?
No. It was a young guy. It was the young guy. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he had a great game, but boy, he was totally like shithousing and stuff. Like he was, man, that was a rough game.
That's interesting. Do you think, for me, there's exceptions because of Portland players, but outside of Portland players, I feel like the players I hate the most are goalies.
Let me see.
The Kansas City goalie who tackled Christian. There's just certain, like Nick Raimondo had that Kobe Bryant effect where he was so good you couldn't hate him. But most of the other ones, they're just chumps. And that, who's the Houston guy who used to be in Portland that had the little rat tail last year? They didn't keep him, but it's just goalies love to make themselves the villain because they're trying to get in the player's head and it works. I think I just hate goalies because of it.
And yeah, I mean,
it's huge, right, Cedar?
If you what?
If you make a big save, like as a goalie, you get the skin of the players. Like, of course people are going to hate you on the opposing team.
I mean, their job is literally to ruin, like, the day of the opposing team. And that's got to be, you got to be a little bit psychopathic, too, to be taking all those shots. It's intense. So, yeah, I mean, they do get amped up, and I think that's definitely, they're going to be more animated than most other players on the field. Yeah, Steve Clark.
Yeah.
I knew it was like a Steve something.
Took me a minute.
Maxime Crépeau, like there's a lot of guys they just like they rub you the wrong way. And it feels very personal against them.
My favorite was, I think it was the Olympia keeper who caused a big kerfuffle, we'll say, and then after Brad Evans scored the game-winning goal against Olympia, he ran and got in his face. And it was a Champions League match, and it was like, and then like, of course, everyone starts shoving, and a fight almost breaks out. But watching Brad Evans just get fired up and go after an opposing keeper was so glorious. Especially because I think it still happens, but CONCACAF Champions League used to be such a clash in styles where you had a time wasting diving team playing against an MLS team, and now I think some MLS teams have figured out how to time waste and dive a little bit. Sounders did it when we went on our run to win. We don't see it too often. But there's something about just going and getting in the goalie space and watching Brad Evans. It was a game we should have lost and then came back and won. And it was just so gratifying. Ooh. So much fun.
Really, well, speaking of goalies, we have one. Andrew Thomas, if he continues on the trajectory that he's currently on, there's going to be some opposing teams and fans that will hate him in the coming years.
Either of the goals he allowed last night could have been stopped.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been really any, I mean, the team has given up a lot of goals since he's came in, and there's nothing that you can point at with him that he's doing wrong in goal. Now you may be able to make the argument that some of the soft skills that Try has developed with his maturity and being in the league so long, we're missing that with some of the structure on the back end. But then again, you know, it wasn't Thomas that let, Reed Baker Whiting just get a duped. It wasn't Thomas that had Neymar knock the ball into the goal either. So Thomas was in a good position for the cross coming back in. So
totally, absolutely, and you, I don't think you can stop from that angle. You're not like gonna be able to stop it. It just, you don't expect it, right?
It's just bad luck because we had it on the other end. They had a clearance and it hit the post. So if it's to the right an inch or two, it's a goal for us, an own goal for us. So I think it's those things that are keeping me from crashing out on this one.
Finding the silver lining. Wow. That's, I mean, I will say, as a Cowboys fan, you're probably equipped to find the small things to keep you going.
I think a lot of my angst, especially on Discord, is because I'm a Cowboys fan, and it's I've seen a team reach a pinnacle and then just fall apart, right? Yes. And the Seattle Sounders have reached a pinnacle, and I'm like, okay, are we going to continue building the roster in the same way that won us our past championships, or are we going to we changing everything now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's real. And as Seattle fans, we, I'm sure Cedar can speak to this. It's something that we're all too familiar with being Mariners fans and Seahawks fans, and just how it goes when you're from here. It's we have a similar, and I think that's where a lot of my sports anxiety comes from. It's watching teams get so close but never make it. Now the Sounders have made it, right? We have mm-hmm. two stars, but we get that third one and maybe we're considered a great dynasty. Same with the Seahawks. We get that one win, but if Jeremy Lane doesn't, was his leg he broke in the Super Bowl, if Cliff Avril doesn't get hit in the head, and suddenly I almost said Wayne Brady, Tom Brady doesn't get that Super Bowl win, the first one in two decades, suddenly Tom Brady is no longer considered the greatest of all time because he hasn't won a Super Bowl in two decades. And the Seahawks are one of the greatest legacy teams of all time with that defense. And so how one game can change the entire perception of how you look at people. Man, that would have been awesome if Tom Brady weren't considered the GOAT. Here's the thing. You can play against the AFC East every single game for your entire career, you're going to win a lot of games and throw for a lot of yards and always get the number one seed and home field advantage, which is why you're going to win championships. So he's overrated.
The Cowboys did end his career.
Oh, were they the ones that?
Yeah, his last game with Tampa Bay was a playoff loss to the Cowboys. So
excellent. I'll take it. Jerry Jones does something right for a change.
I don't know if Jerry Jones did anything right, but I'm going to go that far.
I mean, they've got the old coach from Green Bay who the Cowboys are never going to win a championship with him. So
fired him.
Oh, he finally fired him. Yeah. Oh, that's right. They have Kellen. Who's the guy, the offensive coordinator? But they brought over the guy that used to be the quarterback at Boise State back in the day.
No, he's with the Eagles.
Oh, he left?
Yeah, okay. He left, went to San Diego, then he went to the Eagles, won a Super Bowl ring. The excuse was that it was Kellen Moore, not Mike McCarthy. And so then a few years later, we ended up firing Mike McCartney. Now we got Brian Schottenheimer, and he doesn't call his own plays. He's never been a head coach before. Yeah, it's just,
he's got the name. He's got the name. Schottenheimer was his dad was an incredible coach.
So maybe
Marty Ball.
Yeah. I think he was part of that whole Mike Holmgren, which was all part of really the Bill Walsh family tree.
So I have, I think there's a better chance the Sounders win a cup this year than the Cowboys win two playoff games. So.
I mean, that's a good segue here. What are you seeing from this team that you can take moving forward? Because as much as it's frustrating to lose that game, a point on the road is always good. And mm-hmm. if they're going to continue not to lose, they're going to keep moving up the standings. It feels like this team is clearly flawed. They're missing a goal scorer. But that has never stopped us before from going on a playoff run.
I'm missing goal scorers, we typically have a defense. So,
I guess that's true.
Hopefully the defense will be able to settle down as we get Yamar, Reagan, some more minutes together. Maybe we can figure out a back line. Question for y'all is, speaking of the back line and the defense and some of the younger players we have, in the past, we've seen Brian want to pair players. For example, JP with Intencio, and then having Roldan with Vargas. And so a lot of times whenever he swaps out that double pivot, he's swapping out two players because he likes them in pairs. And so I was wondering if we're going to start seeing something like that with Reed Baker-Whiting and KKR, where they don't want to have them on the field at the same time because neither one of them is lights out defense. And so we may see KKR paired more with Nuhu and then maybe Alex more with Reed Baker-Whiting. What's y'all's thoughts on that?
Seems like sound logic to me. I also think too, having I mean, we saw it with Nuhu coming back in the game from his suspension. He was in there with Kent, and they put Kent on the left side, right? So having, so ironically it was Nuhu who assisted the goal, but but having him as kind of that, safety valve when you've got somebody more offensive minded like Kent up top, seems to be a good combination. Yeah, it would be nice too to see, especially with Leagues Cup coming up, see some some Danny Leyva action in the midfield, and pairing him with, who do you guys think would be a good regular partner for him? Somebody like JP, just because you've got that experience.
I mean,
I mean,
JP's
I
out.
actually, but he's gonna come back at some point, right?
Yeah, but I think it's probably a longer term thing. I don't think his injury is such that I think we talked about it last episode where his knee is intact, so he can come back for sure. But in the short term, I don't think we'll see him. Now, traditionally, what they did was they put Rusnak back there with Obed early on when we still had Nico, which they actually worked really well together. So I it's interesting to see what they might do. I mean, you figure Danny Leyva will get some minutes. Who is our other center defensive mid? I'm trying to think of that right now as we're sitting here. I don't, do we have another without JP?
No, oh, Snyder Brunel.
Oh,
I think that's
is he
it.
on the roster?
I don't think, let's see. I know that there's been a lot of chatter about him being signed, but I don't think the club's actually released it yet.
Yeah. And is he ready? Is he at that level? I mean, he obviously has done it for, I was going to say Sounders 2, Tacoma Defiance. But he's got to do it at a bigger level. And can you put him and Danny together? I do worry that you need a little more experience, I'll say.
I just pulled up Snyder's page on SoundersFC.com, and I don't think he's old enough to drive looking at his picture here. So my
Yeah.
goodness.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think that's I expect that, and maybe I think Nick and I were talking about this a little bit. Maybe this is a chance for Christian to get some breaks, and we'll see more Obed in there because it's a chance for him to show up big against teams from the national team he supports, against especially against Cruz Azul, which let's continue this just for this first game then. For that Cruz Azul match, are you rotating the roster? Or are you treating this like you would any other important game and then rotating it after that?
I'm rotating the roster, but I'm not going crazy with it. I would like to see KKR on the right again, at the right back, not the right wing. Maybe you're starting PDLV and Kent. Jesus has had a lot of minutes here recently. Maybe that's a game where you do start Leyva at the 10 because Brian seems lately like he doesn't want to put Leyva down in the double pivot. He wants to play him at the 10. Have him come on for Rusnak. But probably the first game a mixed lineup would be what I would do. Something that you can still think that you're going to be competitive against Cruz Azul. Probably give Moose the start. I want to see more Pedro because it's about time that he's on the field doing stuff.
Free Pedro.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun to see Pedro, Jesus, and Ken or Georgie all up top. And then, like you said, with Rusnak drop back down to the double pivot. You got to be careful taking away what Rusnak does because he does it so well.
Yeah, that's all our assists pretty much since the areola injury. Not literally, but it feels like it.
Yeah, there might be more of a softer landing coming up, softer than Cruz Azul if they want to start playing Danny at the 10. Because even though Cruz Azul's season has just started, I mean, they're only 3 match days in.
Yeah,
they're a great team, and they're undefeated in their league.
Was it one win, 2 draws?
Yeah, so they're a really good team. But I do agree with Dan on the rotation. Yeah, keep Pedro in there starting, because you want to just let him build that momentum that he's got going. Especially against really good competition. But some of these guys do need a break for sure.
Yeah. Why don't we take a break real quick right here, because we need one, and listen to our Patreon ad, and then we will be right back. Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. And we are back. What are you drinking there, Cedar?
I have got in my hand, I've got Monterey beer. It's an offering from Alvarado Street.
Oh, yeah. So what you're drinking brewing. Last week, too, right? Last episode.
Yeah. And yeah, it's good. I love anything by Alvarado Street. They do an incredible job. And yeah, it's a really good lager. It's similar to like a Miller High Life, but a little bit, it's got a little bit more of a bite to it. It's a little bit breadier, so I like it.
Very nice, very nice. So we were talking about Sounders changes, but I think that leads us perfectly into a discussion of Leagues Cup coming up here. We've got 3 matches. First match against Cruz Azul, second match against, I'm forgetting it, third match against Tijuana, the professionals here at Sounders Scuttlebutt. The schedule for the Sounders, the games are against lesser might not be the right word, but they're against teams that are should be beatable. Santos Laguna, that's right, who has had some great times in the past, but what do you think this is? We can do a little bit of shifting of the offense or the lineup in this match, and then this against Cruz Azul on Thursday, and then for Sunday and Wednesday's matches, we can really shift them because we should beat those teams with maybe not our backups, but more of our non-starters.
I think you're just going to have to do it for the betterment of MLS, which has to be your top priority at this point, especially where we're sitting at the table and You know, the team knows their stats for the home and away losses too, and they know that they're scoring more at home, they're defending better at home, and just get as close as we can to having as many home playoff games. Yeah, do some rotation, do some rest, especially with the way that the League's Cup is going to be. You know, to get to the next round, is it's going to be your points compared to all the other MLS clubs. So it may not be super easy to get out. You're probably going to have to win all three.
To get I have out. A feeling we could get, depending on how MLS does, the Sounders, I think, could get out with a draw and two wins.
So, but yeah, do some rotation. Let some of these younger players get out there. And maybe we'll even see Dero for like an entire game. Wouldn't that be cool to see him play the entire game against Tijuana?
It'd be interesting to see. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I also have not watched him play at Defiance. So for me, it's scary enough having to start Moose up there. As great as he's been, you know what I mean? Like, I want someone who can score, which he's proving he can, and he's proved it all season, but he did have that stretch of 11 games where he didn't have any goals. So we need something up top.
He's going to need a break, though, right? Moose is going to need a break, and he had some earlier this year. There was some injury concerns. I think he missed a game for an injury too. And when we started Georgie up top, that game that he missed, that ended up
not working out well.
No, not good.
It's not something we apparently will be repeating. From what I can tell. Let's shift then, and then we'll come back to League's Cup. Noah Ohio, a potential forward signing. Let's assume it happens. Let's just say it happens. What are you two thinking in terms of it will even have an impact? I mean, by the time we have 10 games left in the regular season, thankfully this tournament pushes it back a little bit. But will he even be able to come in and have any impact this season, or are we just rolling with Moose and baby Dero?
I think if he comes in, there'll be plenty of minutes for him. I mean, he's got the kind of the physical profile of Dero. He's about half an inch shorter, but he's a sizable dude, 172 pounds, 6'1". And just looking quickly at FB Ref, not diving into it super deep, but the similar players to him that they have in their own, you know, internal models. I'm looking at a few of these names here. He's comparable to Tani Oluwaseyi from Minnesota United, who we saw score one or two goals against us this year. Sam Surridge on Nashville. I think he leads the Golden Boot race. And then Hugo Kuipers, who's playing for Chicago Fire, and he's also up there in the Golden Boot race. So getting a guy of that profile, he's bigger, he can score goals. I think there are plenty of minutes for him, especially because, you know, I really don't think we're going to make a deep run and win MLS Cup if we only have Musovski and baby Dero up top. I mean, Jordan, there's a chance for him to come back, but we'd have no idea right now. So, I could totally see Ohio coming in and making an impact.
I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate with you. I'm going to say this transfer here with Noah is looking more towards next year than anything this year. And I think any minutes, if he does come in, it still looks like it's 50-50. If he does come in, we know that for whatever reason, players tend to have a hard time, at least recently, coming in and adjusting to what we're doing on the field. We've had several players come in and just take a long time to get started. We thought Kent was going to bust that trend, and as it turns out, he has not.
It's not unique to the Sounders, by the way. That is, we've seen that, especially summer transfers don't have an impact typically on, if you make a playoff run, maybe later in the playoffs, but not during the regular season for sure.
Hey, but San Diego takes time to get adjusted, and San Diego can put a team together overnight and just go and win all the games. So good for them. But that and just also, I think Brian has reluctance to play players that he just does not have full faith in. And so if Noah hasn't had the time to build that faith with Brian, I think that Brian's going to be more reluctant to put him in. Now, with that said, I think that Noah Ohio has the exact profile that you would want for the scheme that Brian wants to run. And so I think that we could be seeing maybe next year Noah Ohio maybe doing some things and getting integrated into the Sounders offense, but I don't think that he would be a saving piece this year.
Yeah, and I wonder how long it even takes to bring him here. Obviously, and this is again not that we don't ever get political, but being political exists, and who is president changes how long it takes to get visas. He does have UK citizenship as well, so maybe that makes it a little bit easier. I could see Trump not realizing that Netherlands is part of Europe, but it's an interesting thought where how long will it even take him to be registered and get here? And so how getting just the minutes and used to the players when you only have 10 games left, it will be tough.
Yeah, our administration blocked an entire Little League team from coming and playing. That's just heartless.
That just happened, yeah. So,
you know, that's not even the worst thing they've done today, so.
That is accurate. But, yeah, I mean, it certainly is a concern. I think it's people are also concerned about it around the World Cup. I kind of don't think it's going to be a concern for the World Cup. I think they're going to pull back enforcement. And the reason I believe that is Infantino is friends with Trump. And when we were working on the human rights framework that made it all the way up to their number two and approved it, and then Infantino shut it down. I mean, we knew very well that they were rooting for Trump to win the election because it was going to do good things for FIFA. It's interesting because you would think they would want their job would be to get fans into the country to watch their premier event, but that's not really what they care about.
You mean they would rather have a president they can bribe?
Yeah. Yeah. Give him a club winner trophy.
That's going to be my next question is, does Trump get to keep the club world trophy like he did with the Club World Cup? Is that maybe that's the bribe?
I mean, it's not the original anyways. The original was stolen in Brazil, so it is already a replica.
What? Well, it's a really big trophy, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, well, then they can just put it on top of the box with the Epstein files, and then nobody can get into it because the trophy will be too big.
Yeah, so I honestly don't think it's going to affect the World Cup because I think they will pull back on some of the enforcement the way they're already talking about creating a Bracero-like program for workers and stuff like that. My guess is that they next summer I think they'll still have operations in order to go get people, but it won't be the fans that are coming into the country to watch the games on you know, it's visa-less, right? So they're not going to go kick people out there at a soccer game who are from a different country and are just coming to visit. They'll go after people who should be here and they don't want here, unfortunately.
I went after people contributing into our society and some of the ways that the rest of us don't want to. So, yeah. Getting back onto the Noah Ohio thing, going off of, do you have a sense of where we're at right now in the negotiations? Going off of what I've read on Blue Sky and some of the other reporting about it is that we already have a transfer deal agreed to, and we're waiting on Noah Ohio to agree to terms and accept. Is that where you're thinking we're at too?
Yeah, that's, I mean, just same from reading the reports and, it seems like, yes, that's the case. And, I mean, obviously he'd then have to pass a physical and then get the visa before he could play. But my guess is it'll come down to whether or not he thinks it's good for his career to come here. Things are working in our favor with him only getting 10 minutes in EuroLeague last week. So if he's not getting minutes, he doesn't want to be at his regular club. So maybe that's where you send Ryan Kent out to do a little conversation with him, because even though Ryan hasn't had the best run here for a bit, I mean, I think he knows perfectly well, like, this is an opportunity for him. And it'd be the same thing for No Ohio. You come in, you dominate, you're going to be able to go to whatever club you want in Europe. I mean, not the Barcelonas, but you know what I mean? Realistically, you're going to be able to go to a Premier League team or a Serie A team or where you want to go in terms of a league in order to continue your trajectory up.
Here's my plus. No, go for it. Go for it.
No, go ahead, because this kind of moves the conversation along. So if you want to add more to No Ohio coming here, go for it.
I was just going to say, I mean, he's from the Netherlands. You know, weed is legal in the state of Washington. Mm. So, you know, you're not going to get that everywhere in the U.S. So come on down.
I'll meet him with a gift.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. We'll bring out the welcome wagon for old No Ohio.
That's amazing. We just, players are showing up and we're here like, here, enjoy.
Have some weed.
I don't think Brian would be too happy.
Oh no, he would be. I'm sure he would be real angry. I'm assuming that there's, I don't know. Is there drug testing in the MLS?
Oh, I don't know. But I just wonder about like internal, you know, team expectations, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, save it for the off season, something like that. I have no idea how that goes.
Team that I've never heard of a MLS player suspended over cannabis. I'm going to say probably not, because cannabis use is pretty wide.
The WADA list of prohibited substances. So,
okay.
Which means it's probably does not include, let's see here, the 2025 prohibited list that is now enforced includes, well, it's a lot of stuff that are, it has the potential to enhance or enhance sport performance. Well, that's not weed. It represents an actual or potential health risk to the athletes. Probably not, but it depends on who you're talking to. It violates the spirit of the sport. Oh, no way. So just based on those three, I think it's probably safe.
There you go.
I think the only athlete that I know of that weed has ever helped enhance their performance was probably Big Smooth, Sam Perkins.
Oh, although I've heard from friends of his that he doesn't actually smoke weed. But I would be shocked, because I've been at a Sonics game where Sam Perkins was missing every three and he was all like fidgety. And then he came out in the second half and his eyes were shut and he just had the slowest shot ever. And it would just go in. And like, oh, that's Big Smooth.
Makes you wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ricky Williams of the University of Texas, who went on to play for Miami. He gave up his football career for weed, essentially. I mean, it was not exactly like that. He used it for medical reasons or anxiety and things like that. But in the end, he couldn't stop smoking it long enough to stay in the league. Although Marshawn, and this is the funny part, that's probably healthier than Marshawn taking shots before he would go out and play every game. the odd part. So Marshawn knew he was going to go get his body smashed. He had to get little lit to get out there. So,
so my follow up question for Noah Ohio then is: this seems pretty similar to where we were last year with a deal to bring a player in and then to the player. Now, if Noah decides like, hey, I don't want to come, do we start talking about Greg's deal and convincing these players to come here once the deal is done?
I mean, I've got to assume he's not the only player on their list, right? Like, that's never, they're never going after just one player. That's just the one we know about.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to hope that, like, because I think that's kind of what happened last year when nothing happened, was it's like, oh, they had a few targets, but, you know, everything fell through, right? I mean, it's got to be tricky if you're pursuing your main target, you know, putting all your intention into one avenue, and then maybe that fizzles out, and then you missed your window on something that was also attainable, but now, you know, the ship has sailed. It's got to be a really stressful time in the front office.
speaking of stressful, cannabinoids are banned under the World Doping Agency's list. So I wonder if they really do enforce it as much as they say.
Well, there goes my soccer career.
Yeah. No, I mean, you have to convince them that they want to come here, right? And I think the Seattle is the easy sell. It's the ego that is the hard sell. Last summer, we were trying to get two players, or two different players on loan, not trying to get both, but one or the other, from what I recall Craig saying publicly. And we just couldn't convince them that they wanted to come to the United States and end their career in Europe. Because in some places, there's still the perception that this is the retirement league. If you're coming here, you're giving up. But there's other players that know, especially if you're from South America, this is that step to the next level, especially with a team like Seattle, where if you can come in and shine and turn into Raul, man, the door is open for you. Yeah, the shock on Cedar's face as he's contemplating that.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, he's at Utrecht in the Eredivisie right now. And how are they doing? Let's see how they're doing. They're probably their off
probably
season
second
right
or
now,
third.
Right?
I mean, they're probably right behind Ajax is normally where
okay, they're so they were going. They ended up being fourth.
Oh, interesting.
You know, which is, you know, PSV Eindhoven was one, Ajax two, Feyenoord, and then they were fourth. Okay. In seventh was a team called Go Ahead Eagles from Deventer.
Like that.
That's wow. I like the whole phrase as your team name. That's that's interesting.
Their Europa League match was against Sheriff. Which is Ukraine? No, Moldova. Moldovan team. I guess Ukraine probably doesn't have a league right now. If I would had to guess, since they are still at war, they played Sheriff and they won 3-1, and that was the match where no Ohio subbed in and only got was it 11 minutes, 10 minutes? So. It'll be interesting to see. That's his only, I think that's his only match of the year because they're in preseason. So,
22. Well, maybe he doesn't want to come to the United States because the leading goal scorer on his team, right? And he's a forward, but the leading goal scorer is American Paxton Aaronson, who's 21. He's 5'6 and 139 pounds. And he's like,
that is a little man.
He's a tiny man, and he was there that team's leading goal scorer. So maybe Noah's like, no, I can't go to America. I got to stay in Europe because that's eventually where I want to end up. But who knows? I if he wants to come here, then I want him to come here. If he doesn't want to come here, then you know, I don't
just
want
convince
him
to come. He just doesn't know, right? Plus, think about it. He will be. He has a state named after him. He can go to Cincinnati or is there another Columbus and will be a legend after he's done winning us several championships.
Well, we need to have an MLS Cup against either Cincinnati or Columbus and have him score the game winning goal.
I don't think he
truly owns Ohio.
I can't live through another final versus Columbus, that 2021.
Cincinnati. Give us Cincinnati.
Yeah. That would be a tough game, though. I would worry about
that.
Well, it would
be tough.
But,
it would be tough. They're both really good.
Yeah. But, I hope something happens. I hope all our eggs are not in this one basket, that we have other U22s in mind if this doesn't work out. But I also think if we do... perhaps it's not another player. It'll be similar where they're not going to impact us this season. It's more for down the road. Same as Leo Chu, right? Leo Chu was not a player that was meant to come in and impact us immediately. And sadly, he didn't really impact us at all. He had some great games, but was never came in and consistently got that starting job. Even though he's off to Portugal now. Yeah.
What's Marcelo up to?
That's a good question. Did we retain any because we traded him?
Yes, we retained a Solanke.
So he plays for Alverca. I don't speak Portuguese, so I don't know if there's a thing there. But he got sent over to FC Alverca. Complexo Deportivo FC Alverca is their stadium in Alverca do Ribatejo in Portugal. So he is... last year they were in League Two and they got second and they were promoted to League One. So they brought him over from Dallas. Interesting.
Nice. Had some cash to splash, huh?
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, he wasn't really playing much. Vinicius Jr. is owner of that team.
Oh, interesting.
They own 70, he and his partners own 70-80% of shares. For only $10 million, guys, let's put together a business plan and buy Scuttlebutt Ultra's team in Europe somewhere. I feel like we could put a plan together and get $10 million in investment money.
Yeah, barely an inconvenience. Sure.
I mean, we can sell it as the next Wrexham.
If you could, like, anywhere in Europe, where would you want to own a club or be a part owner so that you could have a really good excuse to just be there all the time? Like, what's, like, the best area for each of you guys?
I mean, having lived in Paris, I'd want to do Paris, but they already have two first flight teams now with Paris FC, the Red Bulls team. They're in the Red Bulls family. Red Bull, excuse me. Now they're playing right next to Parc des Princes, so they have like two stadiums right next to each other for the team. Sick.
That's awesome.
But gosh, that would be fun to have a third team come through in Paris. In fact, maybe they're wanting it because they're like, yeah, we don't care about first division soccer. We want this underdog, you know, because let me tell you, as someone who works for a minor league basketball team, you get way more access to the players as a fan. You're there. It's more fun. You feel like you know the players. Anyone who's a Tacoma Defiance fan knows what it's like. So I think somewhere in France, maybe Western France, let's do like Britannia area, because then you can easily get across into England and Ireland and stuff like that. Straight to Ireland, where, you know, they only get 2,000 or 3,000 fans a game, unless you're Shamrock Rovers. But I feel like you could build a fan base in a city that maybe has never had a huge fan base and run shit.
Yeah, that would be fun. I've never been to Ireland, but I want to go.
I have not either. Which is insane considering I'm 83% Irish. But
you gotta go. You're gonna find your way.
My relative is one of the most famous Irishmen of all time, Michael Collins. So I should be there. But my family fled during the potato genocide, potato famine. What about you, Dan? What country are you moving to? Where are we taking your family and uprooting them across the world?
Would love to go to the UK. I had an assignment to the UK when I was in the military, and it got turned off. And I am still 6 years after that bitter. I'm bitter about it. I'll tell you about it after the cameras are off. But it pissed me off, and it'll probably piss you off too. So,
well. You might not be a Sounders fan if you had gone there.
You know, this is where we were always going to come back and retire. So, maybe we'll, you know, see. But like, if they could buy or get into a club, I think Forest Green Rovers would be the one that I would want to get into.
Yeah, that's my club.
Just because they're, you know, I love their values, and it just seems like a cool club. They're not great. At soccer, that's okay.
I mean, they had that run. They got up to League One, and then got relegated to League Two, and then got relegated down to the National League, and almost made it out of the National League. I do have a closet full of Forest Green Rovers jerseys. Their new kits are pretty wild. If you haven't seen them, cheetah print.
I'm not a huge fan of them, but I think it's a cool club. It's a cool business model, and hopefully they make it back and start playing good soccer one day.
Yeah, they unfortunately went the opposite direction of Wrexham. That was tough. I was very excited, and I think that's a fan base. It would be really fun and easy to get involved with. Just from I've been just rooting for them from here, which originally it was because I liked their jerseys on FIFA, and then I found out about the club and what they stood for and all that kind of stuff. And the only actually carbon neutral team, they don't buy, they don't do the cap and trade stuff. They actually plant trees around their stadium, and of course a vegan team. I am in big support of them. So their fans have, you know, reached out to me on Twitter and welcomed me to rooting for the team too. So I think they're a very much a, at least the younger fans are very much a everyone welcome. The older fans are like, let's stop this vegan shit and get back to playing games. Because that's what happens when we get old. That's how I feel about young people music these days.
just the words young people music.
I mean, let me tell you, gosh, we're probably gonna get canceled for this. Chapel Roan is not very good.
I'm neutral, honestly. Like,
she has the same songwriter as Olivia Rodrigo, who wrote one of the best rock albums of the last decade on her her Guts album, and God, they seem cool to sing along to in a crowd, but as songs, boring as fuck. Don't like them. Don't like them.
My little girl has really gotten into Olivia Rodrigo, and every single song is about breaking up with a guy and wanting the guy back. Every single song. I mean, they're catchy, they're fun, but
It's a little much. I was going to go see Olivia Rodrigo, and I'm glad I didn't, because I saw a video of it later, and it basically is a bunch of 10 and 12-year-olds screaming along the lyrics about having broken hearts, things they don't understand, but having no concert etiquette. So they're not singing along. They're screaming atonelessly these lyrics and just ruining it for the people around them that had to pay $150 for those tickets.
Oh, man.
I don't have opinions.
Go for it.
Speaking of young kids, I went and saw Bad Religion this last week, and not young. That is, it is the funniest thing. Those guys out there rocking out, they were awesome. Outstanding. I saw them and Dropkick Murphys, and it was fabulous time, but it was just kind of shocking just how old they look up on stage while they're just still giving it their all. A lot of fun.
I mean, it's funny. Last time I saw, it's been a while since I've had Bad Religion. The first time I saw them was probably 26 years ago or something like that. It's very funny to think about. I actually had tickets to see, of all bands, I didn't go since I've been a little under the weather, up in Bellingham yesterday. I was supposed to see Face to Face, Guttermouth, Teenage Bottle Rocket, and Strung Out. So I guess Teenage Bottle Rocket are older too, because they're like my age, but they're not that 10, 15, 20 years older like those other bands. And so these punk bands are trying to cash in the way NoFX did before they disappeared. But man, what I wouldn't have given to see Face to Face play Disconnected live.
This year I got to see, I saw Black Flag earlier in the year, and it's just great again. And you know, whoever he's touring with, but they sound great.
That's the good one though, right? There's the two. There's Flag, and then there's Black Flag, and the Greg Ginn.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Greg Ginn is the good one.
Totally. I mean, he founded the band, but like, I mean, what I wouldn't give to like get to see, have a time machine and go back and see them with Henry Rollins, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be phenomenal. And then I also saw a couple of months ago, I saw Gang of Four.
Oh yeah,
that's their last tour ever.
They came through Seattle, and I wanted to go, and I just couldn't justify the money for the ticket.
Yeah. I mean, it's so expensive now these days.
All concerts, and
every show.
I mean, that's the thing, is where you live, where we live, Bay Area, Pacific Northwest, endless good concerts. Like, and then I just bought tickets to see Savannah Bananas. So it's like.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, they're coming through.
Are they playing in Seattle?
Yeah, T-Mobile Park.
Awesome.
So they had. I won the lottery to buy tickets, but by the time my window opened, I'm like way at the top 300 level. But hey, I'll get to go. And
yeah, that's pretty sweet.
I'm not as excited as I was when I put in for the lottery, just because I'm kind of over them. But I bet you it'll be really fun in person. It's just eventually it's like, yeah, I get it. But yeah, it should be cool.
See it with your own two eyes. I mean, yeah. that'll be something that's like, that's cool.
You know, you know what else is like seeing people on stilts throw balls that are on fire during a baseball game? Was seeing Oba and Dempsey together. When are we going to get a forward that can score like that? No, Ohio, come on over. Come be our man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, De La Vega has had two games in a row with some pretty sick goals.
Yeah. How are you feeling about him right now? I mean, I know we're all De La Vega fans. Cedar, was it you or Dan, was it you? One of you, maybe both, specifically called for him to play on the left.
I mean, if it was me, I would just parroting other people. I'm not smart enough to, you know, to be like, oh yeah, the left is going to fix him. But I am a fan of the inverted winger, and on the left, he stays out wide, but then once he gets the ball, he's cutting in. And we haven't seen any other player, not even Kent, do that. And he's able to come back around. And just the way he can get around and back to the top of the box really opens up the ability for other players to crash into the box or for him to take that long shot. And it's something different than the prime assist, get to the end line, shoot it back to a crowded box. And right now it seems to be working. So hopefully he keeps doing it. I wish that, you know, Morris was there and we had maybe a little bit more athletic nine than we currently have with Moose that can get down the field with De La Vega. De La Vega's sneaky fast. I didn't realize how fast he was, but he's got some sneaky speed. Let's keep playing him. Let's keep rocking.
Paul Rothrock's amazing, but I don't know how you don't have Pedro out there every game.
Yeah, you paid the transfer fee to play him. You got to play him to find out what you really have with him. Play him.
I'm into it. I'm into it.
Well, and we need to. You know, Morris is out, right? We have no idea if Noah Ohio is going to come or not, or if we're going to get a new striker, right? We need our big money man who's still standing to earn it and, you know, keep putting the team on his back. So at this point, you know, it's all in, right?
And he's just so nice and likable. The fact that he came up at the Rave Gala and talked to us and then came back to say hi, and I don't know, it just, he didn't need to do that. He went out of his way. And so did Rothrock, went out of his way, not only come over and talk to us to like ask how we were doing and ask questions and, you know, learn about us. So I really like that. It seems like we'd go more for a certain quality of human being, not just a quality of player.
Yeah.
There's not a player on this team you don't want to root for.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So how are we feeling then? Going into the League's Cup, we getting through? We making it to that next round of matches? I guess at that point there's 8 teams left, so it would be the quarterfinals.
Just giving a go, no go. I say we don't get out of the group, but we get some younger players some time. Our double pivot gets the rest up, and then we come out and we continue with no losing streak after League's Cup.
Cedar,
I bet you we get out of the group. I don't know. I just have that feeling like, yeah, let's get out of the group. I think, look, we want to get back to CONCACAF Champions Cup, right? And this is one of the chances that we have at that this year. So let's do it. I think, I mean, it's silly to talk about like, oh, are they taking this seriously or not, or like based on the lineup and the rotation. But I think it might, you know, end up killing two birds with one stone. We get some rotation, some guys get some well-deserved rest. Some other guys get some good minutes, and we also, you know, play well. I bet you there are multiple combinations of this team that we haven't seen yet that work well together. And so I'm excited to see how those might proliferate throughout this competition.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Cruz Azul again, just because I feel like they kind of derailed our season earlier, and I really want another go with them. So I'm really excited about that. How can I get to the stadium to see Cruz Azul?
Well, that game, I mean, you can still find tickets, but unfortunately, the tickets you could have gotten through Vamos Sounders are gone. But if you join the Vamos Sounders Club, they are giving two tickets away free to any of the Leagues Cup matches. That one, according to Nicholas, is no longer available, but you can still get them to Tijuana or Santos Laguna. And we're talking good seats, like right behind ECS, 121 row, I think D, double D is the one I got.
Nice. Yeah. It's right behind ECS, and ECS is general sitting, general admission. Can't you just walk down to ECS and have a party?
That's between you and the ushers. obviously, last match, we were both down there, and I think you had tickets down there. I did not. I had a single ticket in a different section, because usually I go with my dad and we sit in the club section, but he didn't come to the game, so. I will be in my regular seats for those matches most likely. But yeah, I mean, if you join the Spanish speaking club Vamos Sounders, you can get tickets to the two tickets, and then I think it's $15 for additional tickets. So you can bring your whole family. Like, let's say you have two kids, you can bring your whole family for $30, which is pretty great. And you also, I believe, they're giving away trucker hats to yeah. people who sign up for those, so you can go pick up. So. I'm not a trucker hat person, but some people are, and good for them. Like, as you can see, yeah, obviously the listener can't, but behind me, I have enough crap, not counting my guitar, but all the sports stuff I have on the other side over there. There's even a Russell Wilson, a Zach Scott bobblehead, a Macklemore Mariners bobblehead, a Bernie Sanders bobblehead, Baby Yoda, Mariners Moose. So I have enough stuff. I don't need a trucker hat, but perhaps I will get it and give it to someone who would appreciate it more.
Excellent. I just got back on Duolingo the other day.
Awesome.
Mostly for Spanish. Yeah, it's been a blast. Not even for the Vamos Sounders Club, but
yeah.
What a perk, you know.
I got back on it because somebody sent me a friend request.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, it made the bird mad, so it like got into my phone, and so now I'm back on it.
It offered me. It said, "Hey, Dan's available to do this." I did look that said you had a 0-day streak, though.
I hadn't done it in like 5-6 years, so yeah. I'm now on 3-day streak. So thanks.
Nice. Yeah, I was doing Spanish for a while when I was dating someone that was born in Mexico, but. I've moved back to, I was going to say my native language, but that is English. My language that I have a degree in, which is French. So I've been learning French again to make sure I can get updated, because I realized at some point that because I started taking French in the 80s, some of my colloquialisms are probably based off of books that were written in the 50s. And so I'm out there being like, oh, rats. Golly gosh, gee, what should we do?
That's funny. That's
oh, zoot, sacre bleu.
Qu'est-ce que c'est que ça?
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Qu'est-ce que c'est que ça?
That's so good. That's so fun to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's a good point to leave it. I realize that I haven't eaten today, so I'm going to go eat some food. Gonna go hit up Duke's Chowda House. Chowda, say it right, Frenchie. And one of Seattle's finest chowder locations. They do have a vegan soup there that is delicious. But where can they find you two on the interwebs if they would like to find you?
Join us on the Discord, because that is the only place I am anymore.
That's correct. Cedar.
That's where I am too. Yep. Yeah. I'll be on the Discord.
Yeah. So come on over to the Discord. It's in the show notes. So if you're listening now, whatever device you're listening on, just go down to the info for this episode. You can click through and join us. Great conversations always, sometimes heated, sometimes super fun. It all just kind of depends on how we're feeling about the Sounders that day and what dumb shit New Who's been up to. I've only ever had to ban one person. So it always works out.
So,
say that again.
And it wasn't me. I didn't get the ban hammer.
No. You've got to do something a lot worse than just be upset that the Sounders aren't playing well.
Yeah. That's almost like a requirement for.
I mean, yeah, come on. You are welcome into the Seattle sports community, Dan. You know what it's like to have defeat snatched from the jaws of victory on a regular basis, to not win that championship. You know what that ultimate discipline, you let your heart sing for a few moments because you say this could be the year, and then they just let you down. You know that feeling. You are one of us.
Good enough to keep coming back. Hey, next year, they're going to run it at the 2-yard line, I have faith.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL starts this week. I'm excited for the Seahawks. Maybe we'll have to convert you into a Seahawks fan.
I've tried to just not watch, and every year I go back and do it.
Yeah.
It's like a drug.
But you could have a second team, and I do have season tickets to the Seahawks. So, you know, hey, maybe we'll have to get you into the stadium.
We're supposed to watch the Seahawks, so we'll – you know, Joe wants to be a Seattle fan all the way. So, yeah, give me him. We'll go see him.
Awesome. Well, everybody, be sure to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. Give us 5 stars. Tell Nicholas and Aaron how much better the Ultras are than them and how they need to get their shit together. And let's keep this going. This is good times. We'll see everybody. Well, we usually record on Sundays, but next Sunday, there's a match. So won't be happening. We'll figure it out. Bye, everybody.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.